Thank you. Good morning. It is good to see all of you. I hope y'all caught all those announcements and were taking notes and didn't miss anything. But in case you did, I'll mention a few things again. I think most of you know, if you don't, I'll remind you that the medical mission team does have a luncheon today, and they would love for all of you to join. Even if you didn't make plans, you're welcome to stay and have lunch. And I'm sure maybe somebody will announce a little more about that in just a little while. But if you have made plans or not, you're welcome to stay today for that lunch. Barbecue chicken dinner, I believe it is, it says in the bulletin there. Also, starting January 23rd, and I know many of you know this also, all of you probably, we do have our missions conference coming up. And the night of the 23rd, we have our soup supper. And the missions committee is looking for people who are willing to help with the Friday night soup supper. Please contact Ms. Frankie Green if you would be willing to fix a pot of soup or some cornbread. So again, if you're willing to fix soup or cornbread and help out with that, just get in contact with Ms. Frankie Green. I know the missions committee would really, really appreciate that. One other reminder, as you saw on the slides, that next week is our acorn breaking. And if you don't have any acorns and you hadn't filled it up yet, we still have some, I believe. And even if you don't have an acorn, you can just bring it in a jar or whatever you want to bring it in. It'll be fine. But don't forget to bring those next week. And that money, again, does go to the Ukraine orphanage. Anyway, I just wanted to remind you that again, just to make sure you have that here next week. Were there any other announcements that needed to be made from the congregation this morning? Nothing else? Okay. I do have one quick reminder for the Board of Stewards. I do need to meet with you just briefly in the chapel right after the service this morning. It won't take but just a few minutes if I can meet with you right after the service. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for this day and all you've blessed us with. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather together. And we've come here this morning to magnify you and to worship you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do just that, that our focus would be fully on that we would put aside all distractions, and that you would just use this time this morning, Lord, and all this said and done to bring us closer to you and draw us closer to you. So use this time this morning. Speak to us. Use us as we go our separate ways throughout these doors to be witnesses, examples for you. Prepare our hearts and our minds for this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Again, this morning, we invite you to join with us in the call to worship till the whole world knows, followed by a medley of choruses that we'll be screening on the screen as we sing those, beginning with the song Through It All, Through It All. Beginning at this time, till the whole world knows, sing it through twice. Let us stand together. This is our missions conference theme chorus and our call to worship at this time.
Thank you.
Again, while you're standing, greet those around you and wishing him God's blessing today.
The chorus we sang is Learning to Lean, and it's something you learn because it doesn't come naturally. We learn to lean upon Him, and the more we lean, the more we find He comes through. Let's pray. Oh God, this morning we pray that You would indeed teach us to trust and help us to learn the lessons of our salvation and of faith. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would now bring to remembrance the words, the promises of our Savior Jesus. Words of forgiveness, if only we'll confess. Words of hope that life can never get too deep or too hot, that You are not only with us, but that Your grace is always enough. Teach us to trust You and to keep our eyes upon You. And through it all, Lord, whatever all is, whatever all becomes, help us to learn to lean upon You and to follow You. Lord, help us never to look away. Increase our faith. Strengthen, Lord, our hope that life or death or whatever is in between, that Lord, You will always be with us and You'll always be true to us. We pray for our mission conference that's coming so very quickly. We ask that You would use those that are coming to speak to us, that through them that You would challenge us to do more and to be more than we've ever done before, that we would not only find their words comforting, but challenging, and Lord, that You would use their faithfulness to then work in us. And Lord, we pray that You would move upon them and prepare them. We do pray for our faith promise that's soon going to be made as we each come to You and we pray about what You would have us to give. Lord, may You make it clear to us that it is a promise based upon faith. Lord, that whatever You move us to give, You'll provide us to give. And Lord, we want to give because we know that You not only want to make Your name known in faraway places, but You want to make Your name known right here in our community as well. So we pray, and we pray for the needs of those that are on our prayer list this morning. Lord, we have learned that You are the creator, the sustainer, and the healer, not only of our souls, but of our bodies too. Forgive, call, fill, send, and comfort us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we once again want to thank you for everything that you've given us and what you've blessed us with. And as we give this portion back, we ask that you would just take it and use it for your honor and your glory and for the furtherance of your kingdom. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before Pastor comes and shares the message of the morning, we'll invite you to turn with us to hymn number 353, A Shelter in Time of Storm. During the singing of this hymn, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining of the service. And also, following this number, Lynn Dukes will be coming and sharing a special to bless our hearts. In the meantime, stand with us as we worship the Lord in singing 353, Dismissing Our Children.
Thank you.
Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
In an out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into His presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere. In the
King. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 14 this morning. Matthew chapter 14, start with verse 22. If you're dealing with faith at some point or the other in a message, you usually deal with this passage often in reference, and sometimes I think it's good just to read it in its entirety and let the full strength of it speak to us this morning. So Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22, and it says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd." The crowd had gathered, and he had taught, and then with a little boy's lunch, he had just fed thousands of people. And so he sends the disciples ahead. He dismisses the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I don't know about you, but I just got to love that story. I mean, a water walking Jesus, that's impressive. And then Peter's willingness to give it a go himself. See, to me, that's faith. That's faith. In a book written by Chuck Swindoll several years ago, he told the story about two ministers, and they decided they wanted to test the strength of their faith by drinking strychnine poison. They both died. They might should have rethought that just a little bit, because in the end, I don't think they were testing their faith. They may have been testing their stupidity, but not their faith. See, those two ministers confused presumption with faith. Presumption says, "I'm going to do this," and that means God has to do that. Presumption says, "I'm going to step out in front of the semi going on 378, and God has to protect me." I wouldn't do that, by the way, unless you want to become a hood ornament. Now, I am not saying that God does not honor faith, because God absolutely honors faith every time. The difference, and it's a major difference between presumption and faith, is who is doing the leading. You've got to hear the voice of God speak to you first. And then if God says step out in front of that semi, by all means do it, because God will protect you. He has the power to do so. But if God doesn't say it, don't do it. See, faith listens to what God is telling us and then becomes obedient. Faith believes that God can, it trusts that God will. And it's easy to say those things, but it's harder, much harder, to truly live a life of faith. Now, we want it because faith keeps us going in all the unfairness and injustices that are all around us. Faith makes it possible for us to live for God. Now, oftentimes, however, faith, at least from our perspective, seems like risky business, doesn't it? I mean, what is life going to be if I don't have faith, and I better have a little faith or I'm in trouble? But when God says come, there is no risk. It's time to step out. See, this is where it starts getting hard, though, because if we're not listening to God, we're not going to hear God say come. But we're afraid to listen to God because God just might say some things we're not thrilled about. God might look at our lives and say, "You know what? You've got some sin in your life right here, and I don't want it to be a part of your life because it's hurting our relationship. You need to get rid of it." But the problem is, we rather like that sin. We hang on to it, and we don't want to change. And so we simply say, "You know what? If that's what God is going to say, then maybe I don't want to listen." Or maybe, yeah, God might tell us to do something or to go somewhere, and we just don't want to go there. So maybe what we want to do is listen, but not listen too carefully. The selective listening. We want to weed out those things that we don't like. And sure enough, and I'll give you this, sure enough, the second that we say, you know what, maybe I need to give this listening to God stuff a real chance, God will up and say something that doesn't make any sense to us. See, but that's faith. That's faith. Living and doing things that we think that we can control, that's not faith. If we as a church only make decisions that we can look around and say, you know what, yeah, we've got the stuff to do this, that's not faith. The question is not can we do it, but is this what God wants us to do? Even if it sounds impossible, even if it sounds foolish, that's the question. Living life the safe way is simply living a life of sight. If I give to God, but I write my tithe check out after I've paid all the other bills just in case something else might come up, that's not giving in faith. Faith writes it first, knowing that God will provide any and all needs that we have. But the problem is, and it's a big one, I think, because God's clear about it. God calls us to be a people of faith and not of sight. And I think we can agree this morning, surely we can agree that the safe thing for Peter would have been simply stay in the boat. Stay in the boat, Peter. But if Peter stays in the boat, he doesn't risk finding out that he can't walk on water. He doesn't risk then that he's going to find out that his faith isn't as strong as it ought to be. And we know people don't walk on water unless it's frozen. Peter should have known all that, and yet he gave it a go. Look, if Jesus doesn't tell us to get out of the boat, we stay in the boat. But when he says, come on, it's time for us to go. Because it's then and there that we begin to experience the realm of God. Now, Peter was a man that often plunged in all the way. I mean, without hesitation. I mean, I just can't believe he was one of those wade in slowly types. You know, I got to believe he was head first all the way in all at once. When Jesus asked the mother of all questions we talked about last week, you know, who do people say that I am? Who jumped up? It was Peter. And then who was it that just a few moments later, as Jesus is explaining the salvation of the world and the meaning of the cross, who was it that jumped up and rebuked Peter or rebuked Jesus? It was Peter. The truth is, Peter was not the type to do nothing or say nothing. He was a man of action, and I believe that's probably one of the endearing things that Jesus really liked about Peter. It's true, he blew it on more than one occasion. Sometimes he did the wrong thing. Sometimes he said the wrong things. But he was always willing to do something. And so the title of the message is Risky This Thing, Faith. But living a life of faith is what we are called to do. And it means putting ourselves in positions, yes, that we may fall and we may fail. But faith does that. Peter's faith was strong enough to jump out, but he soon found out it wasn't strong enough to keep his focus where it needed to be. But falling and even sinking is not failing. See, a less than perfect faith is not failure. Not trying, to me, that's failure. Staying in the boat when he says, come, that's failure. When learning to walk, every child falls down, don't they? And yet they always get up and try again. And isn't it great that when we fall, Jesus is right there to pick us up? I mean, I love that word, immediately. Immediately he grabbed up Peter the second he cried out. So stepping out, being obedient, following Jesus quickly shows us exactly where our faith is. But more importantly, it shows us where God's faithfulness is. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. And if God can save us, then God can. And if God loves us, and God does, then can we not trust God in faith for all things else? I mean, read the Bible. How many times has God come through when you read of the stories in the Bible? Time after time. Abraham and Sarah, they're supposed to have a son, but they're well past the childbearing years, but Isaac was born. Elijah, the prophet, only doing what God told him to do, got himself in trouble with the king and ended up having to be on the run for his life. And God said, I want you to go to the river out there and you just stay by the river and I'll take care of you. I'll feed you every day. I'll send a bird to do it. And the raven was never late. See, God comes through time. It doesn't make sense always, but God comes through. And these aren't just cute stories that we get to read and say, boy, that's kind of nice. But these become reality in our lives in 2015 when we too begin to live by faith. seeing God do the impossible, that's fun stuff. But if we stay in the boat, we never get to see it. A man by the name of, or a young boy, a six-year-old boy by the name of Ryan Herjack, back in the late 80s, was in first grade when he heard his teacher, he attended a Christian school, tell about how many people in Africa were dying every day because they didn't have clean water to drink. And he somehow got convinced that for $70, he could drill a well in Africa. And so he goes home, and his parents said, look, we're not going to give you the money, but you can earn the money. And so for the next 2 months, he's staying in. He's not going to the playground. He's doing all these extra chores to earn the money. And, of course, he gets the 70, goes to give it and give the money to the place to drill the well. And they said, well, no, son, that's not exactly. It cost over $2,000 to drill the well. But a six-year-old's not deterred. He said, well, I'll raise that too. Now, his parents aren't so sure about it, but you know what? God got a hold of it, and God got into it, and all of a sudden, he got well over the $2,000 to drill the well in order to provide clean water. In fact, his foundation is still functioning 20-plus years later, has raised thousands upon thousands of dollars, drilled thousands of wells. Why? Because of the faithfulness of a six-year-old boy. See, it's fun to become a part of what God is doing. And think about this one. This is a whole lot closer. This is a testimony that I keep on my desk to remind me of what God can do with faithfulness. My name is Ann Grace Knowlton, and I am 6 years old. I asked Jesus into my heart last year, and I want to help other people. I want to raise money for Bibles because I felt like God wanted me to. I'm making bracelets for kids to have Bibles. My first goal was $417 because that's what the Gideons need to give Bibles to every kid in the school. The Gideons are a large group that gives Bibles all over the world. Every cent goes to Bibles. After meeting my first goal, I am now close to raising enough for 3 schools. You should ask Jesus into your heart so that you can live with him in heaven one day. And we know the answer to this one, by the way. Over $1,200 raised by a six-year-old because she had enough audacity to believe that God would come through doing what God prompted on her heart to do. You wonder why I keep that in my office? Because this is a challenge to me that when I hear Jesus say, come on, get out of the boat, let's do some water walking, I know that he's not going to let me down. My faith may not be all that it needs to be, but I know he's right there to grab me up when I fail. Folks, it's time for us to take a cue from some six-year-olds today. And if God's calling us to do it, then let's quit asking the question, do we have the resources to do it? It don't matter whether we do or not. What matters is, do we believe that God has the resources to do it? And the true miracle might be that God just says, look, you've got it. You just got to turn loose of it. Come on. God has blessed us so that we might be a blessing. God gives to us much that we might give much. We're too often spending way too much time making decisions based on what we think we can do when the question is, what can God do if we're willing to follow? The closer to Jesus we stand, the more thrilling life becomes. But also, it's also true that sometimes the winds will blow against us. Who told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side in the story? We just read it. Jesus told them. What happened, according to the scripture? The wind was against them. They were only doing what Jesus said to do, but it seemed like when they were following his instructions, the wind was against them, and sometimes it happens that way. The winds blow against us, even when we're being obedient. But I love verse 31. I love it not because Peter found out that his faith wasn't strong enough. I love it not even because Jesus was right there to grab him up. I love it because it teaches us and tells us every single time that in that moment that we cry out to God, God is right there with us and ready to change things. Storms, hard times, whatever you want to call them, some of them are pretty impressive and a lot of them are awful loud and scary. Sometimes Jesus seems far away. But faith is not what got Peter in trouble, by the way. It's not. When Peter was in the boat, we might say, well, that was safety. But for me, by walking, getting out of the boat, that's not what, the fact is, his faith took him closer to Jesus. He was closer to Jesus when he got out of the boat than when he was sitting in the boat. Look, sometimes when we're trying to figure out what to do, we weigh the options. But here's the one thing we can know for certain. When we obediently step out of the boat, we find out how quickly our faith is. God said we walk by faith, not by sight. When Jesus calls us to step out of the proverbial boat, it's time to throw everything out, and it's time to quit talking about it, and it's time to get out and go. See, faith changes the questions. Not can we do this, but the question it always should be. Whether you're asking this question in your personal life, whether a church is asking this question, or whether the Board of Stewards is dealing with an issue, the question is simply this: is this what God wants? That's it. Is this what God wants? Look, if Peter had just asked the first question, can I do this? He wouldn't have stepped out. But it was in stepping out that he found the miraculous becoming reality in his life. Look, sometimes we're afraid to make decisions. Well, I don't know, there'll be some people get upset. I think too often we're worried about the mysterial they, whoever they are, and you know, no one ever knows their name. Maybe we ought to be more upset, more worried about whether God's upset or not, and make sure that we're following him. Look, I don't know. What I do know is this, that as we come to making decisions, whether it be a decision about having some sort of a family life center that we can use to minister to our youth and make a form of outreach for our church, the question is not can we do it, does God want it done? The question about whether we want to have a Bible class that meets with the children of our school where they can come to our facility for an hour once a week, you know, the question is this what God wants? Even if it takes thousands of dollars to renovate the American Legion hut so we'll have a place for them to meet. The question is this what God wants? And when we start answering that question, I will say you better buckle up. Because life's going to get real exciting, okay? But our God can do the impossible. So the title this morning was, risky this thing, faith. But the title's wrong. Faith is not risky. It's not risky because when we follow Jesus, Jesus comes through every time. Even the Apostle John said, look, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Risky business, this thing called faith. It's not even risky if you don't have it this morning. Because if you don't have faith this morning, there is no risk. It only equals absolute and certain defeat in your life every time. There is much to do. There's needs to be met. There's people to tell about Jesus. Faith is to listen, and then faith is to act. What we need is for a larger and stronger faith than we've ever had before. But all faith does now, mind you, all it does is move us closer to Jesus. And what we find is that when we get in over our head, and even though our faith begins to waver or doubt just a little bit, all we've got to do is say, Lord, save me, Lord, save me. And immediately he's going to reach out his hand, and he's going to lift us up, and he's going to say, it's okay. I'm right here. The question becomes, are we going to be a people of faith? Do we want faith enough that we're going to listen to what he's saying to us this morning? Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the power of your presence. We know that there are times that we just flat out get afraid. We know we shouldn't, but we do. And yet, Lord, even though our faith isn't as strong as it ought to be, we pray that our faith will become as a child, a childlike faith that is willing to take you at your word, that when you say, do it, Lord, that you're going to provide it. So this morning, Lord, if we're struggling with something in our life and we just haven't turned it over to you, I'm praying that right now, no matter what it is or what we're struggling with, that we're just going to give it to you. We're going to step forward and say, here it is, Lord. Because, Lord, we know that you have the abilities and the power to take care of it, and we also know that in your faithfulness, you will strengthen ours. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We invite the church to turn together with us to hymn number 355, Trusting Jesus Every Day. And may this truly be the commitment of our hearts anew this morning, greater faith for greater blessings of His. 355, may it be truly our prayer today.
Faith is never a risk. It's a certainty. Dr. Blank?
For doxology or the choral benediction, we'll have the prayer blessing on the food there to be served. Joining together. Before you go back to the fellowship hall, let's just pray together. Father, thank you again for the fellowship we have in Christ Jesus. How good it is to have a part of the gospel fellowship we have in Christ. And now as we gather in the fellowship hall to enjoy the meal that's prepared for us by the Honduran missions trip group, we pray that you'll bless the food to our bodies. May we use the strength for your glory and service. And help us, Lord, to give generously that their needs may be met as they prepare to go this summer again to minister to needy people in Honduras. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, church, and you are dismissed, and all are invited to be a part of the dinner.